spend the brief time that we have left going back and reacquainting ourselves with the book of Zechariah. And anyone that's been here for any time knows that my prayer has been for all of us, and our actions have been in accord with it, I trust. Most of the time when the Lord has been merciful to us, he says, Moses said to the Lord, if thy presence go not with me, carry us up not hence. Don't let us make a move. Don't let us declare ourselves to be a church. Don't let us declare with presumption that this is a place where God has gathered his people together. Let it be the truth, and let it be him who is revealed. And in Zechariah chapter 8, finishes with a glorious declaration, and it's the one thing that we want, isn't it? We want to be found faithful. If anyone ever asks what they can pray for me for, I say just one thing, and I've said it for 20 odd years, that I might be found faithful in any of the circumstances that come, whatever comes from this world, that I might be found rejoicing and delighting in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Zechariah chapter 8 finishes with these wonderful words, for we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. And if God is with you, everything is fine. If God is with you, everything is fine. Timothy, Paul finished his life, and it's just one of those very, very moving passages of scripture, and it's very hard to sort of reconcile, other than the fact that in the providence of God, Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16, at my first answer, no one stood with me, but all men forsook me. After all those years of faithful love and service, you read the last chapter of Romans and see how much affection he had in his heart for people that he probably hadn't met but had heard of. And you think of the labours that he had, all men forsook me. I pray that God may, that it may not be laid to their charge, even in the midst of all of that persecution that we talked about earlier being extended to the apostle in his dying days. And listen to what he says. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. Isn't that wonderful? That's what he says. That's his prayer, isn't it? That I might know him and the fellowship of his sufferings, and the fellowship of the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ flow over into his all of his people. The Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, including these words that we're reading in 2 Timothy chapter 4, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Paul rejoiced before he got to heaven, and he rejoiced in heaven. And that's the great cry, and that's the great declaration that's made at the end of Zechariah chapter 8. And Zechariah is, as we've seen, and it's been some time since we're in the book of Zechariah, but Zechariah is a declaration and a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ building his church in this world. This is a picture of the Lord gathering people, and you know the story. The Jews had been exiled to Babylon because of their willful and wicked and persistent disobedience to God Almighty. They were exiled according to the promise of God Almighty, and they had their 70 years as promised in that land, and they'd been brought back. And like all of us, they were languishing in the task of building the temple of God and building the walls of the city of Jerusalem. And when we see these pictures, we are reminded of the glory of God doing it all. And when he builds his temple, when he builds his building with these living stones that he has grafted and cut out of the rock of our fall in Adam, and we're grafted into Christ, and he builds us as living stones into a temple built by the Lord. And the cries of it, I love what Zechariah 4 says. It says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. And he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. All of the work of all of the building of all of the temple of God is the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he builds well and he builds wisely. And we are being built, we children of God are being built together on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And this is a glorious picture, and Zechariah finishes with just the most remarkable declarations of the great and sovereign God. And I wanted to read Zechariah chapter 8, and I just want to make a few comments. I want you to contemplate some remarkable things in it. 18 times in 23 verses, the Lord describes himself as the Lord of hosts, which means the Lord of the armies of heaven, the Lord of the angelic host, the Lord of the host of all of his people. He's not a Lord without a people. He has a glorious, glorious kingdom. A glorious, glorious victory. When the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ is revealed, it'll be a stupendous victory. Please don't think that he's trying and failing, even though his people throughout time have been few. And like these people in Zechariah, if you read the books of Haggai and Nehemiah and Ezra, you'll see that this building was done with much opposition. And the opposition arose the closer they got to this being a place where God could be worshipped again. And the opposition came in all sorts of ways, from those who were openly opposed to it to those who compromised and says, we want to do it with you. God will build his temple in such a way that he gets all the glory, and his people will rejoice in sovereign, electing, redeeming, keeping, preserving, glorifying grace. And the other thing that I particularly love in the Old Testament, reading the Old Testament and the New, is, as I said so often, every time you read the wills and shalls of God, they are yea and amen in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I just want to read this chapter and make a few comments as we go along, and then we might be caused to rejoice in our communion with our great God who is with us, and celebrate and remember him in the Lord's Supper. Zechariah chapter 8, verse 1. And again, the word of the Lord of hosts came. Isn't that a wonderful description of the word of the Lord of hosts? It comes to people. It comes from God, and it goes to particular people. And it came to me, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I was jealous for Zion with great jealousy, and I was jealous for her with great fury. One of the names of God is jealous. Don't you love the fact that he's jealous for his glory? He's jealous for his bride. He's jealous over his name, his reputation in this world. God's children love the fact that he's a jealous God. I was jealous for her with great fury. You interfere with God and his worship. You get between God and his little ones. You're in a very, very dangerous place. Thus saith the Lord, I am returned unto Zion and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. And every time we read truth in the scriptures, we need to remind ourselves that there is one who is the truth, and there is just one holy mountain, isn't there? Thus saith, verse 4, thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet shall old men and old women dwell in the streets of Jerusalem, and every man with his staff in his hand for very age. The staff that we have in our hand is the staff of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're leaning on him. He's made us weak, and we lean on him. And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets thereof. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, if it be marvellous in the eyes of the remnant of this people in these days, should it be also marvellous in mine eyes? Saith the Lord of hosts. It appears difficult. That word marvellous means difficult. It appears impossible, doesn't it? How is God going to get glory out of a little ragtag bunch of people that are brought back from captivity in Babylon, that seem so weak, that seem so frail, that seem so few? It might seem difficult, but it's marvellous and it's glorious. Verse 7, thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will save my people. And obviously the people is not just the people of Israel. He's talking about I will save my elect people. I will save from the east country and the west country. I'll save them from all the nations of this world. And that's what they're singing in heaven now. You can read about it in Revelation chapter 5. And I will bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. And he will be their God in truth and in righteousness. The Lord Jesus Christ is the truth. He is the righteous one. He is all the righteousness of Israel. Don't you love that declaration in Revelation chapter 19? They're robed, aren't they? They're robed in the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. This is the righteousness of the saints. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, let your hands be strong, ye that hear in these days these words by the mouth of the prophets, which were in the day that the foundation of the house of the Lord of hosts was laid, that the temple might be built. Let your hands be strong. Let your hands be strong. There's no such thing as labour in the Lord which is in vain in any way at all. What a glorious, glorious command of our God that he would allow sinners like us to be participants in the glory that he gets from building his house and his temple and walling his city in this world. Verse 10, for before these days there was no hire for man nor any hire for beast, neither was there any peace to him that went out or came in because of the affliction. For I set all men, every one, against his neighbour. Our God is the first cause of all things, always. So we might look to him in every circumstance of life and the circumstances involving his people as a church. He does it all. Verse 11, but now will I not be unto the residue of this people as in the former days, saith the Lord of hosts. For the seed, we know who the seed is, you read Galatians chapter 3, the seed is Christ and all that's in him. The seed shall be prosperous, the vine shall give her fruit. We've just looked at the glorious fruit of union and communion with the Lord Jesus Christ. The fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of being in him, the fruit of his word dwelling in us, the fruit of his communion with his people. And the ground shall give her increase, and the heavens shall give their dew. And I will cause the remnant of this people to possess all these things. Don't you love the fact that we have a glorious covenant? Then God says, I will and they shall. I will teach them and they shall come to me. I will be their God and they shall be my people. I will cause the remnant of this people to possess all these things. Salvation is of the Lord, every last little bit of it. And it shall come to pass, verse 13. Don't you love that word, that phrase? It's throughout the scriptures, dozens, hundreds of times. It shall come to pass. What comes to pass? Exactly what God ordained. exactly what God ordained from the foundation of the world, exactly what's sealed up in the covenant of God's eternal grace in the Lord Jesus Christ, exactly what's in that scroll that the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone is worthy to open, take and open. And it shall come to pass that as you were a curse among the heathen, O house of Judah and house of Israel, so will I save you, and you shall be a blessing. Promises, abounding promises, isn't it? That's the glory of the gospel, isn't it? He's taken people who were in themselves nothing but a curse, but because the Lord Jesus Christ bore that curse, the curse of the law, we are now a people who are a blessing. Fear not, let your hands be strong. Fear not. What can man do to us? Only what God ordains for man to do. Fear not, fear not, fear not, let your hands be strong. 4, verse 14, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, as I thought to punish you, and he did the nation of Israel, when your fathers provoked me to wrath, saith the Lord of hosts, and I repented not. So again, they have just experienced and witnessed the punishment of God upon these people, haven't they? They've seen for 70 years their nation destroyed. They've come back and they've seen Jerusalem in ruins, the walls and the temple destroyed and all in ruins. Just as all of that is in the providence of God Almighty, so have I thought in these days to do well unto Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. Fear not. Just as real as the captivity was, so are my promises. I thought to do well unto Jerusalem and the house of Judah. These are the things that ye shall do. You fear not. You let your hands be strong. Don't you love what the first time that word fear is used in the Bible is in Genesis chapter 15, verse 1. And God says to Abraham, I am thy shield. Don't you love that thought? That God shields us from ourselves, from our enemies, from our sin. God, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. These things shall you do, you who fear not, you who are a blessing, you who have been caused to possess all these things, you who have been saved. Speak every man the truth to his neighbour. Execute the judgment of truth and peace in your gates. Let none of you imagine evil in your hearts against his neighbour, and love no false oath. What are the false oaths? Every time man says, I will say the sinner's prayer, I will accept Jesus, I will do these things to prove that I am a Christian. They're false oaths, aren't they? I will do this and God will respond is a false oath, isn't it? Love no false oath. For all these things, these are things that I hate, saith the Lord. Why do people imagine evil in their hearts against their neighbour? One answer, isn't it? They don't see themselves as sinners. It's the only reason, isn't it? We stand up on the soapbox of our own self-righteousness and look down our nose at other people. Don't do it, he says. Let none of you imagine It's even in the heart, isn't it? It's out of the heart that evil things proceed. God's going to give his people a new heart. Verse 18, and the word of the Lord of hosts came unto me, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the fast of the fourth month, the fast of the fifth, the fast of the seventh, the fast of the tenth shall be to the house of Judah joy and gladness and cheerful feast. Therefore, love the truth and peace. Truth and peace shall be in your gates. You'll speak the truth to your neighbour. We'll declare the gospel. We'll tell people. We'll tell our brothers and sisters. The Lord Jesus Christ has done it all. The Lord of hosts sits on the throne. The Lord of hosts is building his temple. The Lord of hosts is gathering his people together. The Lord of hosts is in the midst of them. We declare, as the Lord would allow, we declare the gospel to one another. Therefore, love it. We actually love him. We love him because he first loved us. But God's children love him. We love him who is the truth, and we love him who is the peace. We just looked at the end of John 16, that God, the Lord Jesus, went through all those things and wrote all those things so that we would have peace. In him we have peace. Verse 20, thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet it shall come to pass that there shall come people, inhabitants of many cities, and the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us go speedily to pray before the Lord and to seek the Lord of hosts. I will go also speedily, not waiting for anything to change, not waiting for me to get better, not waiting for me to get right with God. We go speedily to him, to seek him. Yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to pray before the Lord. My house, says the Lord Jesus Christ, is going to be a house of prayer for all nations. You religious people have made it into a den of thieves. Come and buy without money and without price. Don't come bargaining with God. We've got nothing to bargain with. We just come and we seek him. We seek the Lord of hosts and we pray to him. We ask him. He has made his people to be mercy beggars in this world. Every circumstance and situation in us and around us is too big for us. Lean and be dependent and rejoice that we have this one to lean upon. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of the nations and even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew. Who is the Jew? Who is the true Jew? There is just one true Jew, isn't there? There is one true, obedient Jew. Saying, and Jew comes from the word Judah, the tribe of Judah. He is the lion of the tribe of Judah. This is what they'll say, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. We'll go with you because God, we have heard that God is with you. I love the story of Naomi and Ruth. What did they hear? In the land of Moab, which is a picture of this land, this world, this wilderness world that we live in, they had heard in the land of Moab, you know the story, John could recite it to you, it's so special. They'd heard in the land of Moab that God had visited his people with bread. The bread from heaven. They'd left that land, like all of us, they'd left that land, they'd left that house of bread, Bethlehem, and they'd gone to live with the enemies of God's people. She'd heard that the Lord had dealt kindly with his people. We have a glorious gospel that declares that God has dealt kindly with his people. We have a glorious privilege in this world to be those living stones that are built into a holy temple in the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 1. It's a wonderful description of not only the building, but what's going on with the building. The stone which the builders disallowed, the same is the head of the corner. He says, verse 4, to whom coming? They're going with him because we've heard that God is with you. And that's what we're doing, aren't we? We're continually going to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're continually coming. We're continually pleading, because while we live in this wilderness world, we are continually in need. We're coming to whom coming? As unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. And this is exactly what Zechariah is saying. Ye also, as lively stones, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. We're made accepted in the beloved. God laid these stones, these physical stones, in Jerusalem that we might see a picture of the spiritual building that he's building. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar, particular people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvellous light, which in time past were not a people, but now are the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. We were a curse, and we made a blessing. Our great God says, he will. I will save you. I will gather you. You will call on me. You will come and call others to come. And we will go with you, the great Jew, for we have heard that God is with you. In the Lord Jesus Christ, God is with us. Emmanuel. How can he be with us and not consume us? Because he has borne all of our sins and they're gone. That's why he says we're a holy priesthood. Not holy in ourselves, but holy in the finished work of our glorious Saviour. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your promises. We thank you that they are true. They are yea and amen in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that we, like these people of old, will hear and come and rejoice that God is with us. We praise you, our Father, that the one thing that separated us from you was our sin. The sin that we are and the sin that we do, when we praise you, Heavenly Father, that in the Lord Jesus Christ those sins are gone and are no more, and you have made all of your people for now and into eternity perfectly fit beings in which you can reside and in which you can commune in delight. Oh, Heavenly Father, grant us the peace of your truth. Grant us the willingness to come and to rejoice in the finished work of your dear and precious Saviour. Make communion with him the delight of our souls, our Father. For we pray in the name of your dear and precious Son, and for his glory and for the good of your people. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.